So I had a brand new 1-quart mason jar full of Rogue, fresh Rogue Pac-Man ale yeast I had saved from a slurry from an IPA that about 2 weeks ago. And last night, that sucker just atom bombed all over the Moonbeam's icebox. Matter of fact, I'm going to rename it. It's going to be the Rogue Chinese Hand Grenade L yeast is what I'm going to start calling it. But there is yeast from one end to the other. It was like, puff! I mean, it just exploded. So there I was in a snot bubbling fetal position, trying to figure out what the heck was going on. And it was like opening a bad movie scene. When I opened that door, there was yeast dripping from all four corners of the ice box. It took out Moonbeam's lunch. It took out several beers and things. But my God, people, loosen the tops on these things, please. So I'm going to go clean that up. I'll be right back in about 2 hours. Okay, folks, beer lovers, beer friends, never underestimate the power of hydraulics or thermodynamics, actually, for that matter. I've been picking up yeast and glass, more yeast and glass than I ever want to see again. But that's a testament to this Rogue knockoff Chinese hand grenade ale yeast. I had burped this a few times, and there was really no pressure building up in that mason jar that I could ever see. I was burping it every couple of days, a couple of weeks ago anyway, when I first put it in there. So this stuff, even at that low temperature, and this is probably about 35 degrees, 38 degrees at the most. I mean, this is a Sears and Roebuck Kenmore side-by-side refrigerator we're talking about. But I cannot believe that stuff was still munching away in that mason jar, but it did, because it just literally exploded in that ice box. So, but that's all done. Everything's cleaned up now. So everybody should see me right now. I'm sitting here in Fun Studios, and I am wearing a Mr. Malty t-shirt sent to me by Mr. Jamil Zainashev. And my thanks goes out to Jamil. I guess he heard my last show or two and said, that's enough for this boy. I'm sending him a t-shirt. And he did. And quite amazingly, it showed up in the mail. And I opened up the old package, and there was a Mr. Malty t-shirt, a very quality t-shirt. You may want to look that up and get one for your very self. I guess they're for sale. I've never checked into it. I really honestly didn't know there was one. Maybe I'll have Moonbeam take a picture of me wearing this Mr. Malty t-shirt and here in Fun Studios, and I'll put it on the show notes page, which I think I may start this edition. There's a lot of things that happened last weekend with Mr. Johnny Max and crew coming over to brew the cream ale. We just had a ball, and Moonbeam took lots of good photographs of that. And a couple of other things to talk about. So I think I may start a show notes section along, and I'll tag it with each show. And maybe you can check that page out and see what the heck I'm talking about half the time. But with all that said, Mr. Johnny Max and crew did show up. I had people converge from all walks of Texas on the Fun House last Saturday, and we just had such a great time. These were such good people. I had Gil Castillo come from San Antonio, and some fellas come up, Mr. Johnny Max, Mr. Corey Nelson, Raymond Marlowe, Mark Morgan, and he brought the Queen, and a fellow masternaut there again showed up to represent the masternauts with me, Mr. Jonathan Procno, and of course, Mr. Johnny Max himself. And Mr. Johnny Max and I did a shared interview with Mr. Corey Nelson, and we discussed his after the interview, award-winning Braggot. I believe he put that in a beer category, a Belgian competition, and won second place with that beer. But, man, from 8:30 on in the morning when everybody showed up, as I had requested everybody bring beer because Max out of beer, and they did indeed bring beer and lots of it. So from about 8:30 on, I pretty much forgot what I was brewing, but we brewed a cream ale that day, and we were sipping lots of very big beers, as the Golden Triangle is known for their humongous brews. So there was a lot of that showed up, and didn't get that cause of death, man. Me and Johnny had a little discussion about that, but maybe one day I'll get to taste the infamous cause of death. And he said he had forgotten to bring it. I think not. But maybe one day I'll get to taste that cause of death, and him and I can share a bottle over a microphone or two. But anyway, this little Corey Nelson interview I'd like to play. It was about 9 minutes or so. Happened later in the day after, unfortunately, many barley wines and Braggots, and all kinds of other big beers. But I'd like for you to listen to it. It was kind of fun. We had a great time in this shared interview with Mr. Corey Nelson. I'm here with Gil Sombrero, and your last name is Gil again?
Castillo.
All right. And Mark and Corey and Mr. Johnny Max. And, of course, I'm Lonnie Mack from AleNuts.com. And we had quite a brew-in today over here. Everybody converged from all walks of Texas on the Fun House, and we had a little cream ale brew in. And I put an email out a while back. It wasn't long ago, but I was out of beer. Me and Moonbeam just moved into this house, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
So I put out an email and says, man, if y'all come and bring a beer or two. So they converged upon the Fun House with beer flowing out the yin yang.
Yeah, Gil brought a trash can full of beer.
Yeah, Gil brought an actual trash can. Kegerator, I guess you would call it. And I'll
trash
put a picture.
Generator?
Yeah, I'd like to put a. I'm gonna put a picture up on the show notes if I can, Gil, because that's matter of fact, it's in the garage, so I'm.
That's just
it.
Cool.
It's here now, so
it's a trash can with a tap on it.
Yeah, it's the coolest thing, full of ice, and it's all
insulated.
Trash can. Well, that's cool, man. We had a. We drank that. Mr. Johnny Max brought a good 90-minute IPA, but right now the premise of this intro. I'm holding a Thor's hammer from Mr. Corey that brewed this. And this is what percent, Corey?
I consider it a conservative 18%.
Conservative 18. What's heavy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm almost scared to open it. And y'all, and Johnny Max, Corey, and Mark are from the Golden. Where are y'all from?
Golden Triangle Homebrewers. We're in Southeast Texas.
And I'm pretending like I don't know that. They come out there and to every rendezvous every year. And I won't say kick our ass. I'll put it.
Run for your money.
Yeah, right.
No, well, we try and gang up.
Sometimes kick our ass.
Well, we try and gang up on the Foam Rangers. They need a good ass kicking.
That's right, and that's the premise behind the
Foam
Rangers.
And them KGB guys.
Why do we enter competitions? To kick the Foam Rangers' ass.
That's
about it.
That's the mentality in a masternauts.
Yeah,
well.
But
so we're in the same.
We're successful
team.
At it, but we're trying.
Yeah, we had the shuttle last year, didn't we?
Yeah, we had the shuttle, but I think the masternauts took it back from us.
Well, see, it's the masternaut shuttle. There's a problem. Everybody's had the masternaut shuttle.
Except masternauts.
Well, they've got it now.
Well, do we? I don't know.
Yeah, you got it this year. The masternauts. Well, you're the mission commander. You have to get with your pilot.
I have to get with my pilot and find out what the masternauts are doing.
Your astronauts.
We'll get it back next year.
I'm the new MC of the masternauts, so... I'm not privy to a whole lot of information.
Now the beer we're fixing, and this is a Braggot, right?
Braggot.
A Braggot.
And what is a Braggot, Corey?
It's made with honey. It's 35 pounds of Belgian Pilsner and 5 pounds of honey for a 5 gallon like, batch.
Like half beer, half mead.
And 3/4 bastard.
Yeah. It's a bastard beer or a bastard mead?
It's wicked.
Well, I'm opening up. So.
Hey, we got noise.
It. Yeah, a little noise.
I'm going to go ahead and...
It's a conservative 18, but if you mash the numbers, you'll come up with about a 21 and a half. Just under Johnny Mac's cause of death.
Yeah, but mine's all grain.
Yeah. Yeah, but mine's better.
Yours is good. Yours is more drinkable.
I think if you drink one 12-ounce bottle of the Hammer, it's like
you'd be hammered?
A six-pack of... normal beer.
Now, you entered this in a competition. It's being judged today. Is it judged today or is it being awarded today?
It's January, what's today? January 6th. 5th and 6th, they had the Big Beer, Barley Wine, and Belgian competition in Colorado. And
I sent
five beers up there, and this was one of them. This is the big one. I sent this in their Belgian Strong category. And I believe it's got a pretty good shot.
Oh, yeah.
I snuck a taste before we did.
Ooh, well, you can smell the honey. Wow. Ooh, it smells good.
Weren't we supposed to do a cheers thing and all? I don't know. I just snuck a taste already, man.
Ooh. All right, here we go.
Clear as a bell. Nice head.
Ooh, damn it.
Man, hey, now that I've tasted it, I'm going to smell it now. So let me see.
Corey, that's an awesome beer.
It's going to be a good one. It'll hurt you. Just sneak up on
it. It has almost a...
Now, you're going to send a bottle of this to the Brew Bubbas, right?
Yeah, I'm going to send them one. I think they're worthy.
That's a big beer.
Yeah, what is the Brew Bubbas saying? We're all about free beer? Something like that?
Yeah, and I'm going to send them some, too. I already promised Craig that I was sending some of that mead, that fiasco mead on my last show, the meaded cask.
Oh, okay.
And you guys are going to taste that a little bit later as well. I'm going to give you a very sneak peek of that cask mead.
Who was it? I think it was Rick from Big Foamy Head. He was posting on the site how Beano works, that it breaks down complex sugars. So I'm going to make a fart beer, and I'm going to send a fart beer to the Brew Bubbas and see how that goes. I'm going to leave a lot of complex sugars.
Don't tell them about it, though. Just send them a fart beer.
Don't tell them. Don't tell them about the fart beer.
Yeah, that's going to be a big secret.
I might call it the
fart beer.
A fart.
Yeah, I'm going to call it the barking frog beer.
This is the biggest beer I've ever made.
How'd you make this? This was what, a 5 gallon batch?
Yeah, this was, I made this January of last year, 2006, January 2006.
So we're just over a year old.
And I bottled it probably 2 weeks ago. And like I said, I sent some off to Colorado for competition. I brought two over here for us to taste. And it's a big boy.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt it's big.
Yeah, you can taste the alcohol.
And you're sending one to the Brew Bubbas.
Yes, I guess. I'll send them one.
In all fairness, the Brew Bubbas sent Corey one of their beers in exchange for Thor's.
Of which I have not had yet because John hasn't delivered.
Hey,
like
it's in
he
the
said
truck. It's on the edge of the road. It's in the truck, buddy.
It's in the truck. Yeah. I heard it's broken with my O-ring.
Dang, yeah, I don't know. It got broken? Out. Yeah, it's empty. I don't understand.
I can't believe they sent me an empty beer. Next time we're going to try to send it to my house, and I bet it shows up unempty.
Hey, how about if you give us your recipe? I'll put it under my show notes.
No.
No?
No. Private recipe. Made it up myself.
You don't know what you did?
I know exactly what you did.
Right?
I know exactly what
How many yeast did you go through?
Five or six God's Own yeast. It's a high-gravity yeast my buddy sent me from North Carolina.
What's his name? Doesn't he have a? Is that the guy that has a homebrew shop?
Yeah, he's got a homebrew shop. I can't think of his name right now.
What's the name of his homebrew shop?
Why did you ask me? If you hadn't asked me, I'd have told you. He sent me a God's Own yeast, which is a 25%er, and it's supposed to be good for alcohol up to 25%. I did 3 or 4, I can't remember, yeast changeouts on that. But every time I brewed a beer, I would transfer the wort over onto the old yeast for a day or two.
So how many times do you do that?
I don't know. In addition to the yeast, I added probably 4 or 5 times over the last year.
Well, get your buddy's name and his homebrew shop to me, and I'll add it to my show notes for this show. So, because I know that he always sends you all grain recipes. You call him up, say, "I want to brew this," and he'll look it up. Yeah, he'll look it up and give you a good, excellent recipe. Because I drink your beers; they're excellent. They're all grain recipes.
And he's so, the one who sends me all the recipes and all the ingredients for all my Belgians.
And that's an excellent source for good recipes, especially if you're getting into it and you just want to brew a beer real quick. Mm-hmm. You just call him up and say, I want to do a Belgian mm-hmm. this, whatever, Delirium Tremens or whatever, and he will formulate it, and he'll weigh all the grains, crack them, and stick them to you in the mail. And you
he'll
just
send
brew
it to me. I got to do is throw it in hot water.
So that's a question I wanted to ask you guys, the Golden Triangle. Where do you get your ingredients from? Do you order them? Is there a little brew store right there in Beaumont, nope. some area?
No, we don't have one yet. Corey's going to open one, right, Corey?
I'm going to open one. What the heck?
Right now, I get pretty much all of my stuff from DeFalco's in Houston. Because Scott, you know, Scott was like the very first, the master judge in the BJCP.
Yeah, that's right.
And he is an excellent source, and I like to help him out. And he's got a good shop. Anything you want, he can get it. If you don't have it, he will get it, and he'll sell you fresh.
I get a lot of mine from DeFalco's. I also get a lot of mine from my buddy in North Carolina.
I'll have to give him a shot.
And I use Northern Brewer quite a bit, too.
Yeah, I've used Northern Brewer. Y'all saw Brutus out there.
Yeah.
And it's partly built by Northern Brewer.
Mm-hmm. We do
partly built by Beer and More Beer, and the other is Capital One. I built all the rest of it.
Did take a loan out?
three banks it took to build that.
Now, I did order. I've only ordered from Northern Brewer once, and it was because I was trying to get the yeast for the cause of death, and it was back when it was a specialty yeast.
Yeah, cause of death is a whole different show on ale nuts, so we're going to have to reserve that, man. I would like you to refrain from talking about cause of death at this point.
I'll have to bring a bottle over
here. Yeah, see, the whole deal was today, the whole premise behind this whole brewery, I can give a crap less about the cream ale. I wanted to try the cause of death.
Hey Lonnie,
I didn't get a bottle of it today. So
here's an idea. I'll come over. You and I will split a bottle of cause of death, then record the show.
There we go. There we go.
It's almost as good as the hammer. I think the Brew Bubbles ought to like this one.
Yeah, they'll be drinking it on their show, I'm sure, eventually.
And you've already sent that to them, right?
I'm about to. I've got a bottle.
I just delivered their bottle to him, and you know he would not give it to me until I give him their bottle of and what was it? It's a strong ale. They sent him a strong ale, so I cannot get his to send to them till I give him the strong ale. So
this is I think I called this a strong ale.
That's what I was fixing to ask. What would you categorize this as? What is it? It's a brag. It's definitely a brag because you have honey.
It's a brag because of the honey.
Oh, and you can taste the honey.
You
can taste the honey, but it's not like just a mead.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about 50% alcohol is what I'm coming up
50%
with.
50% alcohol. 50% alcohol.
All I know is I need a cigarette, man. That says something. So
50% panty dropper.
There you go. I think it's 100% panty dropper because this is too easy drinking.
Yeah, Mark fixed to drop his panties.
That's exactly the
only
thing.
Only for you, Corey. Only for
it's
you.
A strong beer.
Yes, it's very easy drinking. Matter of fact,
it goes down great.
Yeah,
you can.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you got any more?
And if you have one of the new Captain Ron thongs, it would be a Captain Ron thong dropper.
thong dropper. Yeah, well, Elcaster Mac don't have any clothing lines yet, so
I'm not Captain dropping Ron's my thong for nobody.
Yeah, Captain Ron's on me about that. He wants his line of thongs.
Yeah, well, Barley just jumped up in Johnny Mac. So Barley's a Yorkshire Terrier, so you don't do much microphone duty yet.
need to put him on the controls.
Yeah, he'll be on there. He don't do Chihuahuas though, man. I got to tell you that right now.
I got a mountain goat in my lap.
All right. Well, from that point on, we started talking about things like mountain goats and such. So I decided to clip that interview right about there for this show anyway. But anyway, I think we'll move on to another tune. But I'd also like to say on my show notes page, which I alluded to earlier, I think I'm going to start putting some links to these CDs and these fine musicians I've been playing. I'm trying to get back home, I think. We have such great, phenomenal blues musicians down here in southern Texas. Some of the best music I've ever heard. That first song I started out with was from Mr. Benny Brasket off of his album Pardon My French. I believe that was back in like 1998, I believe. Excellent fellow. And many of these people, Moonbeam and I know personally, such as the next artist I would like to play right now. We'll take a short break, and this is Mr. Billy Wells from his album Live at Cruisers.
way you walk, like the way you talk. And you walk that walk, and you talk that talk. Come on, come on, come on, shake it up, baby.
Well, that was Mr. Billy Wells, and man, he can play. I've seen this guy many times, and hopefully I can play some more of his music in a future show. But anyway, in other news, I'm getting a lot of email. It ain't because of this new show. It's it goes way back, man, really it does. I've gotten a lot of email over that bar I built, and it was in BYO a few years ago. And hey, I'm just like any other home brewer. You know, I'm having a ball doing this. My processes are not any better than anybody's. I've made great beer on the bucket system, the cheapest of equipment, and I've made very bad beer on everything I have now. It's just, to me, it's half the fun building all this stuff. It really, truly is half of my hobby. I enjoy as much or sometimes more than brewing, is just coming up with gadgets and building things, because that's what I do. I've always done stuff like that. But nonetheless, I'm getting email out the yin-yang. Man, I get email just sometimes, just tons of email every day, and I find I sit here and do nothing but answer email, and I will too. I'll answer every single email if it takes all night, and I've had a few nights where I've stayed up quite late answering emails on Brutus 10 or the bar or what have you. But I got an interesting email, and I don't understand what in the heck it says. I'm getting email from all over the world, and have for quite a while now. Maybe somebody out there can translate this email. It's something like, let's see here. Let me find it. Okay, here. I got this the other day. I don't know what in the heck it says. Maybe somebody can help me. It says something to the effect of, I don't even know what language it is. You bent Zoon in sexy man. Mm-hmm. And it goes on. U stem is so deep and sexy. Okay. I hope this isn't dirty, because I have no idea. Dit meket mij hun van u meer in meer ilk kier luster ik naar u. Now, this may not be a nice email. Please, somebody, email me. You klinkt zo zwedent hu van in schap herder met in goat under ik arm. Okay, see, we're back to goats. And this is a coincidence, I'm sure. Ik hun van u, ik hun van Brutus, ik hun van u. And it ends abruptly right there. But nonetheless, I mean, literally, I get email sometimes. I have no idea what on earth people are saying. And I try my very best to translate them somehow and write them back. And but this is a testament to the power of the internet. It really is. And that's what just flabbergasted me. Here I am, a little guy in southern Texas. Southern Houston down here in Baycliff, Texas, a little hole in the town, city in Texas. And I get to communicate with the world, and they communicate with me. And I've discovered this over the last several years, the power of the internet. You know, of course, I've been goofing around on the internet since the Commodore 64 days. And I realized the power many years ago, but not until the last few years recently have I realized the power of forums. The power of clubs, the power of meeting many, many people online, and to some degree, becoming very best friends online with people you'll probably never see face-to-face in your life.
Hey, how's it going, Lonnie?
Oh, shit, not much. Sitting here listening to a little band in a little juke joint down the road, man. What you up to?
Oh, you're not home?
Oh, no, I'm over here. Me and Deb are out with some friends listening to this little Irish band down the road.
Oh, because I don't hear no band.
They're fixing to strike up here in a second.
You know, it's always great having good friends over. Mr. Johnny Max and crew over last weekend brewing. But it's funny, you know, every time I brew with friends or take Brutus out to brew ins around town or wherever, you know, there's always questions about some of the processes that I use and stuff. And there again, my processes are no better than anybody. It's just the way I do things. But there's always questions on why I'm doing this or that, because I'm certain I look pretty goofy doing some of the things I like to do. But one of the questions that came up, and one of the things I really like to do, is when I mash, I only mash the base malt. Now, this is nothing new. I've heard of people doing this before. I forgot where I learned it, but it just made sense to me, and I try and stick to that. I don't do it every time, but in my mash tun, I don't put crystal malts or chocolate malts or roasted malt, any malts that can't convert or anything that can't convert doesn't go in the mash tun. I don't like to put it in there. I want the enzymes of the base malt to sit there and munch on what they're supposed to be munching on and not wasting time munching on a lot of these other crystal malts and a lot of other malts that just can't convert. Now, for convenience, it's very nice to put them in there, but it's just the way I do it. And so what I do is I'll mash the base malt. My recipe is designed and built on the quantity of the base malt, mainly as far as the strike water volumes and stuff like that. It's based on the base malt, and I'll mash that for an hour. Usually I only mash for an hour, and I'll mash out to 168. I'm a pretty adamant believer about mashing out, and that stops, obviously, it stops all the enzymatic activity in the base malt or in the mash tun. And at that point is when I add my crushed specialty malts, be it crystal or chocolate or whatever I happen to be making that day, which I have pre-crushed in my aluminum barley crusher sitting on the side. And I'll take that and put it on top. After I've mashed out, I'll dump that in on top and lightly stir it into the top, and I'll sparge through them specialty malts into the kettle. And it makes great beer this way. I wouldn't say it makes better beer. I probably wouldn't know the difference. It's just the way I do it. I want the enzymes and the mash working on what they're supposed to and not wasting their time hanging around a piece of a chocolate kernel over in the side somewhere. I want them to go work on the pale malt or the pilsner or whatever. And another thing I do at the end of the brew day, my friends always say, "Hey, Mac, man, you're running way behind. You didn't sterilize any carboys, you know. Man, you're running behind." Well, I don't use carboys anymore. Very rarely do I use carboys anymore. I pretty much have turned to fermenting in the mash tun. So, and you may have heard this. It's on my website as well. But to explain it, you know, at the end of the boil when I'm chilling, I've already cleaned the mash tun out, and I cleaned it spick and span, and I filled it with about 3 inches of water and put it on the center of Brutus where it usually resides. Put the top on it, and I also throw in my aerator stone at that point, and I turn that flame on wide open, and I boil it for about 15 or 20 minutes, and all that steam just sterilizes that pot in the center. So when people see me fermenting in a pot, it's not the kettle. And there's people that do that too and make wonderful beer, just chill their wort down and dump in the yeast. They don't take the trub out. They don't take the hop. I mean, they just dump the yeast in and let it ferment, and they've made great beer that way. But I like to do it in a sterilized environment, a sterilized pot, and very clean. So when I'm done, you know, I dump that water out that I boiled in the mash tun there to sterilize it. And it just sits there until the wort's cool. And when it's cool, I just transfer it over. I gravity transfer it into the center pot. And then I heave that 11-gallon pot of wort and beer, put the yeast in and aerate it. And I heave that sucker up into my cooler. That's the problem I'm having with it right now. It's very heavy. But I'm able to do it, at least right now. But it's very convenient. Man, I'm so glad I don't do any more carboys. I just hated sterilizing and cleaning carboys. It's one of the tasks. It's like bottling. You just don't want to do it. But this makes it very convenient. And then after 14 days, because I do not secondary, rarely, if ever, do I secondary anything, because I've used enough viable, vigorous, healthy yeast in the beginning to ferment that beer fully and clean it up inside of a week or a little bit more. But I'll let it sit to 10 to 12 to 14 days or so, usually the next following Saturday. So about 14 days, and I put it right into two kegs, and they top them two kegs off real nicely. I have just a little bit left over in the kettle or in the fermenter, and put it in the bar, and I clear it, chill it, carbonate it, and drink. And that makes very convenient brewing for me. All right, we're going to go into another tune here. And finally, due to great request through email and some friends of ours, I think I have finally talked Moonbeam on to being on the onto this show. Now, fellas, and the one or two gals that may actually listen to this show, I think I know beer. Moonbeam doesn't know beer. She likes beer. She likes to drink beer, and she's learning about beer. I think I know about beer. I have a lot to learn about beer, as everybody has a lot to learn about beer. One thing I will profess, and that is Moonbeam knows blues. I'm not from here. I'm from Louisiana, and I've been around the country from end to end, sea to shining sea. I've never stayed in one spot too very long. So I know none of the blues in southern Texas like Moonbeam knows blues. But I'm not just kidding. I don't say that Moonbeam knows, you know, who's playing down the road and she's heard of this band or that. Moonbeam has actually changed Mr. Gatemouth Brown's tire and probably done everything and helped B.B. King pack up his guitar into his van and pushed him on off back to Memphis or wherever. So we're going to go into another song, and I think I've actually finally talked Moonbeam into introducing and using her talent of the knowledge of Southern Texas blues, which is just phenomenal to me. And you'll see what I mean as these shows progress, if I can continue to keep her to introduce these songs. But what do we have, Moonbeam?
It's a song by Mark May off his first CD.
And Mark May is a local artist, I'm certain.
Yes.
Even I know that from being down here for about 8 or 9 years. What's the song title?
You Can Call on the Blues.
You Can Call on the Blues. Now, you and I were discussing a while ago. I put this in, and I was listening to track number 3 on this CD that was from, like, 1995, you say?
I believe so.
And what I found I liked about this next tune was a saxophone. I didn't know who it was. Don't say on the back of the CD, but you just started ripping off all this stuff about this saxophonist. Who is he?
Well, yeah, it's Eric Dimmer. He used to play with the Gatemouth Brown Band.
The Gatemouth Brown Band. Gatemouth, rest in peace. But he sat in on Mark May's CD, I'm assuming?
Yeah, he sure did.
Okay, well, we'll play that song, and this is track number 3, right?
Yes.
And the name again, and
You can call on the blues.
You can call on the blues. So here we go. Thank you.
But when you're king of the hill and you're on your way down, you can call on the blues.
You know, I was sitting over here the other night. Me and Moonbeam had some great guests over from our fellow Masternaut Club. They go by the name of Sweet Lou and Bunny. And we were sitting there tasting some of that great cask mead that I alluded to on the last show, which, by the way, I guess it's due another show because it came out. It was just phenomenal, in my opinion, and in pretty much everybody else's opinion. Again, I don't know mead, so... but there again, we were sitting there sipping on that mead, and we were just relaxing. And Sweet Lou, a great friend of mine, he is quite a blues player, and like Moonbeam, knows just about every blues artist in town and around the country. And
And they were going back and forth. And I've always realized that, that Moonbeam knows the blues. And her and Sweet Lou were going back and forth, ripping off blues artists and who they know, and all the way down to their ancestral line. And so that told me right there that you know, I just need to shut up and think about beer, and I'll let Moonbeam talk about blues. And because she was holding her on, I wouldn't say Lou won, Sweet Lou. I wouldn't say Moonbeam won. I would just say they were just going back and forth, and it was quite a show talking about who did what, when, and where, and who broke a guitar string on what night, and who changed whose tire. So I'm hoping beyond belief that I can have Moonbeam start doing the Southern Texas blues lineup from now on and help me introduce it, because I can't do it justice like she can. So I finally got her on the show. There you are, guys. I've had a request, and you've now heard Moonbeam actually speak. So with that, I'd like to wrap up this show. I'd like to wrap this show up with a special note. You know, I was listening to the Brew Bubbas the other day at brewbubbas.com, and they finally, in episode 10, got Mr. Jamil Zainashef on. And what a tremendous exchange, I thought, between Craig, Jerry, and Jamil. It was really a moment where you can just put on a good quality pair of headphones and turn the lights off in your room and just enjoy and soak up some great brewing knowledge in that episode. But one thing I was not privy to that I learned in episode 10 on brewbubbas.com from Mr. Jamil was about Linda Stark of the AHA. And she's one of the backbones of the Great American Beer Festival, the GABF. And apparently she has contracted stage 4 lung cancer and needs some very serious treatments that are not available in the United States, nor are covered under any insurance in the U.S. So she has to fly all the way to Germany. So in conjunction with the Brewing Network, TBN, Jamil Zainashef and the Brewing Bubbas and several other podcasters, they have set up some linkages on the Brew Bubbas and the TBN network where you can donate through PayPal $10. And at least on my show, I would like to direct everybody to the brewbubbas.com, and you'll see a link for the Linda Stark Fund. Please do go there and listen to the show. What a great show. And please do click on that link and follow it to the Brewing Network and donate your $10 for Linda Stark so she can go to Germany and get the proper treatments that she needs. Okay, so I think I've talked Moonbeam into ending this show with one more song that she has picked out while I was collecting my thoughts and trying to finish this show. What'd you pick, sweetheart?
Picked one by Leonard Lowdown Brown called Open 24 Hours.
Open 24 Hours. And Leonard Lowdown Brown, is he a Texas local guy?
No, he's originally from Chicago, but he's been here 10 to 12 years or so.
And he's played around town. I'm assuming you've heard him and met him several times.
Oh, yeah.
And okay, so this is, what's the name of the song again?
Open 24 Hours. It's off of the Birth of the Blues CD.
Ah, Birth of the Blues CD, and we'll end with that. So until next time, brew on, brothers.
Open 24 hours. Open 24 hours. I gotta go down to the place that stays open all night long so I can get myself something to eat. Oh, I'll take it on home. And after I finish, I might drink a cup of coffee or 10. I just ran into a pack of my old long lost friends. Now we'll sit around and talk until the sunlight starts walking in. And then everybody runs out at the same time saying, hey, I gotta go, I'll see you again. At the same place, the same time, it's always open 24 hours.
can stay here if you don't wanna go home. Open 24 hours.